Thank you, Stella. In the gospel reading today, Jesus said some famous words to the disciples. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Easy to say, huh? As we go through a week, in the middle of a week when things start to go wrong in our lives, a lot of us aren't thinking, "Let not your heart be troubled." A lot of us are thinking, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen next?" But in context, Jesus was telling his disciples, do you remember what he was telling them in the chapter just before this? He said to his disciples, "Listen, I'm going to go die on the cross." And Peter said, "Oh no, no, Lord, let it not be so. Wherever you go, we're going to go with you. But you're not going to die. You're going to set up your kingdom. You're going to do what we want you to do. You're the Messiah." And Jesus said, this is what's going to happen. But then he said to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And so he was telling his disciples, listen, you guys already believe in God. Believe in me as the Son of God. And you know, to let not your heart be troubled is actually a command, isn't it? He wasn't saying, listen, I'll take care of this for you. If your heart gets troubled, I'll take that away. He was saying, let not. That's something that you can do. That's not something that he's going to reach in and say, I'm going to not let your heart be troubled. He said, you let not your heart be troubled. That was a command given to us. And it was out of his love for his disciples and his concern for them because he saw their fear. He saw their uncertainty. He had just finished telling them what was going to happen to him. It's kind of like him saying, listen, don't let that bother you, what I just said to you. Don't let it bother you. He knows that they believe in God. He knows that they believe in the great works that God has done for the people. And he even knows that they've seen the great works that Jesus has done. But Jesus also wants them to understand that he's the same as God. He's doing great works among them, and he is to be believed in too. Jesus wants them to understand that God is his Father, and it is in him and he is in the Father. That relationship is paramount to them understanding who he is and the immense importance of his being with them and teaching them everything. He went on to say, my Father's house has many mansions. Some of your Bibles will say, my Father's house has many rooms. Some will say, many dwelling places. My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. The disciples did not want him to go. They wanted him to stay. They didn't understand that he was going to ascend to the Father, into the kingdom where God sits upon the throne, and that in that kingdom was room for everyone. He tells them that he's telling them the truth by saying, if it were not so, I would have told you. Or in other words, he's saying to them, would I be saying these things to you if they weren't true? He's going there to prepare a place for you. He told the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. He says that to us too. I go to prepare a place for you. Is he building houses? He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. So they're already there. So what's Jesus going? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I think that's good news for every one of us. He's going to prepare a place for us. It's the only place in the Bible where it talks of Jesus preparing a place, like he's getting it ready. And you know what it is? It's that he's getting us ready for it at the same time as he's getting the place ready for us, isn't he? One could safely say that not only is he preparing that place, but he's preparing this place, isn't he? He said that he will come back and take us with him and be with him in that place, and that we already know the way to the place where he is going. If you think about it, this is referring to his coming in the Holy Spirit in glory. In a sense, this is his returning to take us to a place he has prepared for us and a place that he has prepared us for. Thomas, though, Thomas, remember Thomas? Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Thomas was questioning a lot, wasn't he? In fact, he's referred to somewhat unfairly in the Bible as the doubting Thomas. As we can see by this question, Thomas said, some of them still did not get it. They did not understand what Jesus was saying. They kept thinking that he was here on earth to establish his kingdom. You're here, Jesus, as the Messiah. You're going to set up your throne and overthrow the Roman Empire. That's what you're here for. After all this time, they still hadn't gotten the message. They were looking at things all wrong. They kept looking at things the way man sees them, not the way God sees them. They thought that when he said he was going to prepare a place for them, that he was going to some place around here. I'm going to go to Hotel 6 or Motel 6. Probably not, right? And I'm going to prepare a place for you. I don't think so. So Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the second most quoted verse in the Bible. Did you know that? The first one is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This one, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's one of the best verses because he said this to them and he says this to us. The absolute destination for every one of us, the absolute ultimate destination for all of us is to be with the Father. The creator of the universe, who calls us his children and loves us so incredibly, wants us all to come to him. In fact, it says God so loved the world, he wants the world to come to him, doesn't he? He wants everybody in the world to come to him. Whether we believe it or not, receive it or not, welcome it or not, realize it or not, our real need and desire is to be with God. That need and desire may take on many forms, but it is ultimately our innermost longing to get to the Father. So how may we get there? Only through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said he's the road, he's the way. He's the way to the Father. All of his words, his life, his truth, all lead to the Father. He's the road that we must take. There is no other way. Jesus said he's the truth because he'd never lie. Everything he tells us is true. He said he's the life because even after we die, we live. Amen? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The disciples understood that he was the way. But I don't think they quite got it yet that he was telling them the truth in everything he said. I don't think they quite got it yet that he was everlasting life. In him was that everlasting life. If you really know me, said Jesus, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus challenged his disciples and said, do you really know me? Do you really know Jesus? When they assured him that they knew him, he told them that they knew the Father as well. If you know me, said Jesus, you know the Father. It was good and glorious news for them and for us that Jesus told them that they knew the Father. But it was puzzling also when he told them that not only did they know the Father, but they have seen him as well. The disciples couldn't fathom having seen God. That was forbidden. In the Old Testament, it said nobody can see God. Nobody can look upon God and live. How can you say, Jesus, that we've seen the Father? Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Show him to us, and that will be enough for us. Jesus said, don't you know me, Philip? After all this time, I've been among you such a long time. Don't you know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? Philip was likely not alone with this confusion. He did not understand the relationship Jesus had with God as his son. He was entitled to the fullness of everything God was and is. Jesus was. It says, Paul said, in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When I was a kid, my dad sent me to the post office. We lived in a one-horse town. You know what a one-horse town is? I don't either. He always used that word. But it was a small town in Wisconsin, okay? was called DeForest, Wisconsin, which seems about right. The adage is not lost. It was a small town. And everybody knew everybody. The high school had 100 people in the whole school. So anyway, he sent me to the post office to pick up a package. He said, go pick up this package for me. And I said, well, how are they going to know who I am, Dad? And he said, well, here, I'll write you a note. So he wrote a note and said, this is my son, Jerry, and he can pick up the package for me. And he signed it Conrad Meixner. I said, okay, but what if he thinks I wrote the note, or what if he thinks I found it? He just said, look, just go to the post office. I know the guy that works here. I went to school with him. Tell him when you're one of the Meixner boys, and he'll give you the package. So I very feebly walked into the post office and walked up to the guy who worked there. In that town, it was one guy working in the post office. And I said, and I mumbled, I need to pick up a package for my dad. And he says, what's your dad's name? I said, Meixner, Mike Meixner. He said, oh, are you one of Connie's kids? Now, only a few people called my dad Connie. I wasn't one of them. But when he grew up in high school, his name was Conrad, and they changed it to Connie. So everybody knew him as Connie Meixner. Are you one of Connie's kids? And I said, yeah. I said, I have this note. He said, I don't need a note. He said, here's the package for your dad. And then I walked home and gave my dad the package, and I thought that was easy. As soon as I mentioned his name, he knew me. You see where I'm going with this? That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. God is the Father, and I and the Father are one. And where I go, I take the Father with me. And now, remember when Jesus ascended, what he said to his disciples? He said, all authority is given unto me. Go therefore, because I'm giving that to you. Bishop Kessler touched on that a little bit last week, didn't he? I'm giving that authority to you. And now you take that into the world. Well, we have God's note to the post office, don't we? We have his note to the post office. We have his word, and therefore we can safely speak on his behalf, because he's sending us to get the package. Jesus was trying to get this relationship through to the disciples. He was trying to get that immediate voice of the Lord on the subject. They had heard the voice from heaven. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened and the voice spoke and said, this is my beloved son. Isn't that enough? If heaven opened and God spoke and said, this is my son, wouldn't you believe it? It's like, okay, that's never happened before. And it happened that time when Jesus was baptized. And so God had told him that this was his son. And some people said it thundered. But when God speaks, it's not thunder, it's the voice of God. So Jesus went on to say these things to you, to his disciples. He said, the words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe the evidence and the works themselves. Now, we may represent the Father who gives us the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the authority and power that goes with that name. Jesus said this, very truly I tell you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm leaving, I'm going to the Father. And by the way, most of us are just like the disciples. We say we believe and we nod our heads. We say, that sounds good, Jesus. But it's hard for us to grasp that he is the Lord, and that when he says, let not your heart be troubled, he's speaking on the authority of the creator of the universe and all things. He's speaking on the authority of God, who's saying to each one of us, listen, let not your heart be troubled. And if you're letting your heart be troubled, stop. Stop being troubled. Because Jesus said, I've given you everything. I'm going to get a place ready for you now, but I give you the Holy Spirit here with you right now. I believe that if we could grasp completely and with utmost confidence that relationship that Jesus has with the Father, we could begin to understand our own relationship with him a lot better. This is likely the place where we all fall short, myself included in certain ways, because like the disciples, we tend to focus on what's going on around us, and our hearts get troubled by things in our lives. They get troubled, don't they? It's hard not to ever let your heart be troubled, isn't it? If we could go from this place into our daily lives with a certain assurance that Jesus is with us at every moment and that he has given us the note and the authority, then we would all do greater works than he has done. Jesus continued and said, And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Do you believe that? We get to go to the post office of the throne of God and say, I'm one of the Christians, the Christ ones. That's what the word Christian means, the Christ ones. We get to go to the throne of God and say, I'm a Christian. We get to use the family name and obtain the package. And what's in the package? His life, his righteousness, his truth, his peace, the mansions he has prepared for us, the dwelling places of eternal life. So listen, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid, because you know the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.